They're gathering the troops up. Gathering up the troops. I tell you, Mr. Ames there, he was really enjoying the music. I thought me and him just going to get beside ourselves there one time. He got to kicking his feet, and I was patting my foot, and I thought, well, we're going to get this thing in motion here in a minute. He really loved the song service, and I thought, hey, hope everybody enjoyed it as much as he did. He's having a good time up here. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. I want to share a few verses of Scripture with you. This is something I started on Wednesday night, and as I prayed about it after Wednesday night and on Thursday and Friday, I thought, you know, there's a message in this that needs to come out about the leadership and the qualities of leadership that God looks for. Now, I want you to understand that always what we see, what we look at as leadership form, that's not always what God sees. I mean, God chose the disciples, and I probably wouldn't have picked one of them to be my helper. You know, you can read and know where they came from. And I want to look back in the book of Judges chapter 6, and we're talking about Gideon. Gideon was just an ordinary person. He describes himself as, you know, he really wasn't much, that he was least than all these people and all everything. But God chose him to lead Israel back to God. They had got away, and God needed a leader to go in and help them. And he was, through this, was going to have to defeat the army of Midianites. And I want us to think about these things as we go through today. Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to start verse 14. Judges chapter 6 and verse 14. Y'all turn there with me. Now, we're talking about a time when Israel had turned away, and God had allowed the enemy to come in and overrun their land and take all they had. They took their houses, they took their flocks, they took everything they had. And so when God saw that Israel was willing to return and come back to him, he said, okay, now I'll take the enemy away. And there's a message in that itself, that when we're right with God, God takes care of us. Now, you know, he'll watch after you. He'll help you through situations and things that come up in life. And so when we start talking about Gideon, I want to start here at chapter 6 and verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And so I want to just kind of refresh that and bring it up, what he considered himself to be and what God considered him to be was so much different. It was different in daylight and dark. God looked and saw what he could be. He didn't see what he was at that time, but he saw what he could be. And so we need to preach this day and time that God sees things in us that sometimes we don't even see ourselves. The leadership quality, to lead other people, to persuade other people. And God gives us that privilege now on this earth that we make differences in people's lives. So here's Gideon. He's trying to disqualify himself, but God don't let you out easy. If God picks you, you might as well just go ahead with it. You might as well just go ahead with it, because you'll just be miserable and suffer through it till you do. And God don't usually change his mind on that kind of thing. And so here is the situation. God needs a leader for Israel to fight this battle against the enemy that has come in and overrun their country. And so we go over and you go through and see in verses 17, and it runs on down through verse 23, and you find that the angel of the Lord came, and Gideon prepared an offering for him and gave a gift, and he was sure at that time, but he's still seeking and searching surety. Now, when we go into this, a lot of people say, well, I don't know about signs from God. Let me tell you about signs from God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. He can speak at any time. You know, we're not going to have to lay a fleece out to know what God wants us to do, because we have that advantage, the Holy Ghost of God. Gideon didn't have that advantage. He was in the Old Testament, and he had to have signs from God. And I believe God can let you know what he'd have you to do, where he wants you to be, where he wants you to go at all times. I believe this, that God's in control. So down in verse 25, I want to pick this up down there. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath cut down the grove that is by it. and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." Now, there's a big meaning in this. When I read through this and have an understanding, guess what? We have Gideon doing the work of God, going to lead his people in battle against the Midianites and win a great battle. But understand, when we read about this, he said, first thing I want you to do is go down to throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath built. And so it's going to cause a division in the family. You know, that's a hard thing to think about, division in the family. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll read on through this, you're going to find that although his father had built this altar to Baal, and although Gideon goes in and throws it down, his daddy still defends him because he's serving God. And his dad, I think, knows enough to know that, well, this is God's will. And so there's times that we have to go against things that family does. Nobody likes that thought. But I'm telling you, if your family's all living ungodly, don't join in with them. You know, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be apart. And I'm going to tell you that leadership, that when you speak right and do right, they will notice. They will notice when you're the one to speak up. You know, they used to set everything in my family to set it on Sunday. Y'all ever heard that before? Knowing that I go to church. Any of y'all ever had that problem? Every family thing they wanted to do, they set it on Sunday. I just finally started telling them, "I'm not coming. We got six other days a week. Set you one. Then I'll come. If it's on Sunday and disrupts my church service, I ain't coming." Well, I wasn't the most popular guy in town that day with the people, but I believe I pleased God. And if they set stuff on Sundays now, I'm real picky. I did one a while back because they couldn't do it any other time. But that was a circumstance. But y'all understand, this brought Gideon to the point he had to go against his father. His father had built the altar to Baal, and God said, "Go tear it down." He said, "Cut the grove down that's around it." And so that's what he did. And it brought, no doubt, a difference, a division in the family. But if you read on through and notice later, I want you to understand that God even showed his daddy, said, "Well, you know, he's serving me. He's serving me." Now, I'm real big on this leadership aspect that God used Gideon, a normal, ordinary person. Too many people in this day and time, too many Christians, are trying to disqualify themselves from what God would have them to do. Because they'll say, "Well, I can't do that. Let somebody else do it," or "I'm not qualified." I'm telling you, if God calls you, you're qualified. And if you're not, he will qualify you. And so as we go through this and look, I want to go over and talk about the fleece just a few minutes. Judges chapter 6, and let's look over to verse 36. I'm just going to go through a few of these. I know it's lunchtime. I hear your stomachs growling. I'm glad y'all don't have on a microphone. It's, you know. But anyway, I know time has changed. All right, Judges chapter 6, verse 36. "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, in other words, he's not really questioning God, he just wants to know for sure. I believe knowing for sure is a good thing, don't y'all? I believe knowing absolute is a very good thing that we know from God. Now, we're going to read about this, and this is where I'm talking about Gideon's going to put a fleece out, and God's going to give him a sign. I'm thankful we don't actually have to put the fleece out, you know, just physically put it out, because we've got a spirit dwelling within us. If you're a child of God, that Holy Spirit's dwelling within you, and it's telling you right from wrong and what to do and what not to do. Only thing we have to do is listen. We have to listen to the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. He'll speak to your heart. He'll speak to your mind. You know, and all these things. So Gideon asked, I want to be sure. In verse 17, he said, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry on the earth beside, then I shall know that thou shalt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed out the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So here is the sign from God. Now, Gideon goes another step. He said, I want to see this thing happen the other way. Now, you know, I'm telling you, nothing's impossible with God. He can fill the fleece with water, or he can make it dry, either one. And so God's showing his patience toward Gideon. Now, I've thought about this a lot in the last few days, how patient God has been with me and God has been with some of you, that he's willing to show you time after time after time and deal with you and work with you, letting you know and understand that there's a place, there's a ministry for you to take part in right here at this church and out in this community, in your families. And God is so patient that he just keeps showing us over and over and over. I thank God that he's patient. He'd got tired of me a long time ago. I'd have had major problems. But God is patient. Verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me. I will speak this but once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but with this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. And so God worked it both ways, letting Gideon know, said, you're the one. Have you ever thought about what it means for God to single you out and say, you're the one for this position? Now, Gideon was going to lead an army. He was going to lead them against the enemy. I'm telling you, there's still a great need for leaders in this community, in this church, and all the other churches around, that we lead people against the enemy. We're not fighting Midianites. We're fighting sin and the devil and all the evil of this world. And so when God chooses us, we ought to step up. Be sure that God said, okay, this is you. I'm going to use you. And I'm thankful that God still does that. We don't have to put the fleece out, not physically. We can in our spiritual way say, God, my fleece is out. Show me. And he will through the Holy Spirit of God. He can direct you. He can counsel you. He can guide you and make you successful in what he'd have you to do. Not on your power, not on your ability. I'm telling you. If Gideon depended on himself to take care of this, it wouldn't have happened. But Gideon knew God's power. Gideon knew that God was his counselor. He was his leader. He was the guidance for all these things. And as long as he stayed in this will of God, he is going to be successful. We've still got the same God that we're serving. I'm telling you, as long as we know that we're in the right direction with God, let everybody else worry about him. I want to pick up just a little bit in chapter 7, just because I like it. Y'all ever get that way? Just because I like it. Amen. This is where God wins with just a few people. Now, you know, we got a pretty good crowd here this morning. We got some folks out that I miss, but, you know, we got a pretty good crowd here. And I know people that talk about smaller churches, you know, like we are, but I'm going to bring you down to a point that 300 people defeated the army of Midianites. It said they were without number. The multitudes without number. Couldn't even count their camels they had. And I'm going to show you where God used 300. So if you've got any whims or problems about attending a small church, get over it. Get over it. You know, because they don't tell what God could do. I want to read a little bit of this. You know, Gideon, Jerubal, Gideon, all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill and Moreh and the valley. Now, I've already read, and it said the number of them was like the multitude, like grasshoppers. Couldn't count them. You couldn't even count your camels. There's so many of them. So we're talking about a great army camped over here against Gideon and the army he's putting forward. Now, he's blowed the trumpet. He's called everybody in, and they started coming in, being ready for the fight. And down in verse 2, you find out that God said, well, you got a good army, somewhere around 32,000. He said, you got a good army, but he said, really, that's too many. You just don't need that many. He said, if you go in there with that size army and defeat them, they'll say it's within your power and your ability. And God wanted the credit. Now, I'm telling you, God likes the credit in things. He don't like us hogging his glory. Mark that one down. If you do something, it's for the honor and glory of God, not for your honor and glory. And if it is, you're doing it wrong. And so here, Gideon had 32,000. God said, that's too many. He said, just tell any of them that's afraid or fearful or wants to go home, tell them they can go home. I've always been afraid to say that in church. The doors fly open, all of y'all run out, you know. But he had Gideon tell them that, and 22,000 of them went to the house. That don't surprise me. I'm not surprised that 22,000 of them said, well, I don't want to fight. I just want the spoils. Sounds kind of like Christian life today. I don't want the battle with the church, and I don't want the fight. I just want the spoils. I just want to be in the victory line. Now, you think about that. You know, that's where we're at a lot in our Christian lives today, and I'm talking about in the world, and I'm not singling out any specific church whatsoever. I'm just telling you, Christians need to be in the battle. You know, just because you've got an offer you can go home don't mean you ought to take it. You ought to have been one of the 10,000 that stayed there. You know, stayed there, and they said, yeah, if there's going to be a war, we're part of it. We're all in. We're all in. We're willing to fight. We're willing to do the battle. And so he wound up with 10,000. God looked at him and said, still too many. And he said, I'm going to try them. He said, I'm going to take them down to the water. And he said, those that bend their knees and drink, and those that lap water like a dog, said, you're going to keep the ones that lap water like the dog. And out of 20 or 32,000, and then down to 10,000, and then God chose 300 to fight this battle. Now, you're thinking small churches can't do something. I'm telling you, 300 defeated the Midianites. Never raised a sword, or they raised one, but they never had to swing it because God was fighting with them. And so when we find out that he had 300 left, then God gives him the plan. Now, here's the key to success in all these things, that we have the plan of God in our church and established in our church. Not what we want it to be, not what we think it ought to be, but what God says it ought to be and what God wants it to be. Now, when it comes down to plan, you know, we're a smaller church, so we don't have this great big thousands and thousands of army, but we have God to direct the ones that we do have. And so this 300, God said, you take them, and this is what you do. You split them in three companies, 100, 100, 100, and put a pitcher in their hand and put a candle under it, a lamp under it, and said, when you shout, said, tell them to break the pitcher and let the light shine. I like this battle. I like this battle. Letting the light shine. You know, it's been covered up. Let's read just a little bit of that. And down in verse 16, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And when I blow with a trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side and all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And so the plan is, they divide them up, stand them on the hillside. Their lamps are covered. Now, I want you to think about these covered lamps. They're in these pitchers, and they're not putting forth any light. They're not shining out. And when he said, break the pitchers, he just broke them off, and the light shined. Guess what the enemy saw? They saw the light. Now, as Christians, we need to be letting our light shine, not having it covered in a pitcher. If your light's in a pitcher, break it. Today, just break it. Say, I'm going to let my light shine. And all they're going to do, blow their trumpets, let their light shine, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to win the war. They're going to defeat the Midianites. Now, if you don't think God's power is not great, and I'm talking about a tremendous army, but it goes down and they do that. In verse 20, and the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow with them. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. The power of God demonstrated. I just love this. I think it's encouraging to small churches. It's encouraging to small groups that as long as God's in it, it can work. Here, 300 ran the whole other army, ran off, left running, left everything they had, and nothing left to do except just reap the spoils. I'm going to stop right there. I know our time change has got kids ready for lunch, probably. Melvin, got kids ready for lunch, Tommy. Y'all stand your feet. We're going to be dismissed.